Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast. We are so blessed every time you join us. You know, we try and bring you interesting interviews with interesting people, and it never fails. God always comes through. Now, if you've been around the Christian circles for a while, you have undoubtedly heard about Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16, which outlines the fivefold ministry gifts given to men by God. You've heard me talk about that before, but is it possible that you can be in the ministry without being a pastor? Can you lead a church if you are not a quote-unquote pastor? Is it possible for a person, perhaps you, to lead the church? My guest today is going to answer these questions for us and more than that. Glenn Newman, author of Pastors Move Over, Make Room for the Rest of Us, challenges the modern traditional form of church government, which recognizes a single pastor as the primary leader of the local Christian church. Why is this significant? He says it's because this is completely unbiblical and we've been doing things wrong in the church for over 1,700 years. Glenn Newman's been a Christian believer since 1974 while he was serving in the U.S. Navy. And upon his discharge, he attended the Seattle Bible College in the late 70s and later served as youth pastor in Graham, Texas, and again in Georgetown, Texas. Glenn, with his late wife Juanita, formed Covenant Life Fellowship and Heartland Bible Institute in Granbury, Texas. Oh, I love Granbury. It's a wonderful little town, in my opinion. I love Granbury. And after many years of prayer and reflection, Glenn has received a revelation for the fivefold ministry and the elder-led church to find its place and operate within the modern local church body. His desire is that all believers find their gifts and callings and step out of the shadows of the professionally trained minister. He's the author of two books, Pastor Move Over, and also Your New Life in Jesus Christ. Help me welcome to the program, Glenn Newman. Glenn, it took a little bit of schedule juggling, but we finally got it together, brother. Welcome to the program.
Well, thank you very much, Bob, and I'm really excited about today's interview, and I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but I've got some things that I need to talk about.
Amen. And that's what we're here for. Glory to God. But Glenn, the first question I always ask is this. Tell us, other than that short bio that I just read, tell us in your own words, who is Glenn Newman?
Well, I'm 67 years old. I grew up in California, went in the Navy during the Vietnam War. Got out, and my last year of the Navy, my sister invited me to church. And I said, well, what do I want to go to church for? I'm a beer-drinking sailor. And and I don't know if you remember Andre Crouch, but she knew that I was a musician, and she played some of Andre's music. And it, you know, perked my curiosity, and I said, well, if they have music like that, sure, okay, I'll go. Well, I finally went to church with her, and the guy, it was a Wednesday night, meeting, and he had a simple gospel message. You must be born again. Confess your sins, and, you know, Jesus died for you and washed your sins away. I said, oh, I get it. You know,
yeah.
And so I finally got it. I finally understood about this. You know, why are there preachers on TV, and why does my grandmother have a Bible on her coffee table? All that. Well, I finally got it.
Amen.
And so after I was discharged, I went up to Seattle and went to a Bible college there. And after I left there, I went to Dallas, Texas, and I was looking around for a ministry job, and found one in a small town, Graham, Texas. Mm-hmm. That's where I met my wife. And long story, but we grew together and everything, and about 2003, we moved to Granbury, Texas, and started a church. And she was suffering from breast cancer, but at the same time, she was a brilliant writer and teacher, and she wrote a book called The Reformation of the Glorious Church. And it was about the fivefold ministry. And she showed some things about the positive and the negative parts of the ministry and of each, you know, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastors, and teachers.
Yep.
I'll give you an example. A pastor, as the gift of pastor in the Bible, is a nurturer, a comforter, somebody who helps. I describe it this way. If you know somebody, you can call 2 o'clock in the morning and you're having a problem or whatever, and they drop everything to be by your side and comfort you and help you in your situation. I call that a pastor.
Yeah.
That's a pastor's heart.
Yeah.
You've probably seen this judge on TV or on YouTube, where he's very, very compassionate with people. Do you recall the one that I'm talking about?
I think so.
And every time I see this guy, I said, he's got a pastor's heart. He may not be called a pastor, but his heart. He's got a gift of a pastor in him. So, but at the same time, I mentioned she described the negativity or the negative part of each of those ministries. And this is why we need each other to balance each other out, is because a pastor will nurture and help and so on. But the negative part is they tend to be enablers.
Ah,
okay?
Okay.
Now, say apostles. Apostles will go out and break new ground and create new ministries and so on and so forth. But their negative part is they have a tendency to disregard the people of the kingdom for the kingdom's sake.
Yeah.
And so you need a pastor to balance out the apostle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
So that's why we all need each other. They balance each other's out. So,
yeah. Amen.
Anyway.
Okay. Well,
long story.
Yeah, that's all right. Let's just jump right into the discussion here. Ephesians 4, 11 to 16. What is right and what is wrong, in your opinion, with how the modern church is using the scripture?
Well, okay. When you think about it, what does a seminary degree or that type of education, how spiritual is it? All it is the same as any corporate business degree that you would get.
Exactly.
It doesn't mean you're spiritual at all.
That's right.
And
amen.
So what I try to do is describe each of those. And he gave, and, you know, Jesus gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the maturing of the saints for the work of the ministry.
Right.
So you have the mature believers that are preparing the people for ministry. Now, 1 Corinthians, talks about when you come together, one of you has a psalm,
right,
a tongue, interpretation. We can't do that in a huge church. You have to do
that's
it in a small church. And when you look at the Bible, they were going house to house. In fact, it was very seldom that they showed up at the temple. A couple of reasons for that is, well, first of all, the Gentiles were not welcome.
Correct. They weren't at the temple.
In the temple. Yeah, they were unclean.
Yep.
And second of all, they, Peter and Paul and so on, they were Christians. Mm-hmm. And every time they got up and spoke, they got themselves in trouble in the temple.
sounds like me.
So they weren't with me. Yeah. So they had to go house to house, yeah.
That's right. And ministry, just to interrupt, but ministry, when we hear the term today, minister or ministry, we're thinking about preaching, and standing up in the pulpit. But that ministry is, if you go to the root word, is where we get the root word, the word waiter from. It's someone mm-hmm. who serves.
Yeah.
Serves. Yeah.
Yeah. And, I remember thinking about the word wait on the Lord.
Yeah.
It's exactly like a waiter,
yeah.
Where you're waiting to see what God wants you to do next.
That's it.
So, yeah.
Amen. So, I agree. You've said in your writings that the Bible has no mention of senior pastor. So, how did that position evolve in today's modern churches?
Well, it started with the Jews. They had the high priest. It continued when Jesus died on the cross. The temple priest, the curtain, the veil in the temple, for giving us access into, the Holy of Holies, all of us, not just the high priest. Well, along comes the Catholic Church. And builds the veil back up and says, well, we got the Pope, we got the Cardinals, we got the local priest you call Father, and all of that. And none of that is in the Bible.
That's right. Amen.
And the thing is, Martin Luther did a great thing about, getting us out of the Catholic Church as far as some things go, but he kept the priest position in place. And so now, instead of calling the guy up front priest, we call him pastor.
Yeah. It's basically the same role in the church, which is leading the church, which they're not calling the body the church. They're calling basically the building that they're meeting right. in is the church.
Yeah, the word church means ecclesia, meaning assembly.
Yeah.
And you don't have an assembly of buildings, you have an assembly of people. So, we drive down the street and see a building with a steeple on top, and we call that a church.
Yep.
It's just a building.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And Ephesians is talking about, he gave some apostles and some prophets and evangelists, pastors and teachers. And we look at it, the typical person when they're looking at this says, okay, well, teacher's the bottom of the pile, but in actuality, I think it's in reverse. I think the apostles, as you alluded to a couple minutes ago, they go in and they dig up new ground. They're mm-hmm. the ones going in and with the machete chopping through the jungle to get somewhere, right? And then
absolutely.
The prophets, they're given the direction, I guess. The way I look at it, the pastors, the prophets hear from God. They're God's voice to the people in the Bible, and the priests are the people's voice back to God. I mean, that's how I interpret that. But, then the evangelists, that was my first calling in ministry was an evangelist.
Mm-hmm.
You're going into an established territory and just preaching the gospel and getting people born again. And, I've transitioned into the teacher role, which to me is the greatest thing because I'm sharing wisdom from the Bible,
mm-hmm.
And laying that foundation that people can build on. Now I did the pay. I had to laugh. I almost interrupted you when you were talking about this before, but you know, the 2 a.m. calls and all that. I did.
Right.
When I went to Bible school, it was for, you know, what's the typical, well, I'm called into the ministry. What does that mean in today's society? Oh, you're supposed to be a pastor. You know, that's what you're supposed to do. If you're called into ministry, you're supposed to get a church somewhere. And, I was assistant pastor at three different churches, and then we moved here to Maryland and couldn't really find a church that I was comfortable at. So I decided, well, we'll just open our own. And we did for 2 years, and I found out that was not my calling. those 2 a.m. wake-up calls. You know, my husband's come home drunk. All right, call me at 8 a.m. Why are you calling me at 3?
right.
So we merged with another church, a friend of mine that I had made, and we merged with their church when I became a police officer and all that. But I almost interrupted you there and say, yeah, I hated those 2 a.m. phone. That was not my heart. That is a calling.
Anything but a pastor.
Especially.
Well, here's something I describe to people when I talk about becoming a pastor. The typical, you know, traditional way is to go to Bible school, go to seminary or whatever, get a degree, and then send out your resume.
Yeah.
That's a corporate type, you know, hiring method. I tell people, if you're in a church long enough, a traditional church long enough, your pastor will leave you 100% of the time.
Yeah.
Guaranteed.
Yeah.
He will either die, move on, retire, or something. He will be gone. What do you do when you need the other pastor, next pastor? Well, you send out a call from hither and yon and get resumes in. And then you bring in a few to audition for the job, you know, get up there and preach and let's see how you do and so on and so forth.
Interviews.
Interviews, so on. Then the next step, we like Brother Jones. We want him to be our pastor. What's the next question they ask?
How much?
What are we going to pay him?
Yep.
How much are we going to pay him?
Yep.
Every bit of that is a corporation-style hiring method. Okay? Where the field in the New Testament, back in the first century, they didn't have that. They had people who were, you know, available as compassionate, you know, mothers and fathers who would help and guide and so on and so forth. We have turned the church into a corporation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sad because there are so many people, really, there are a lot of people that are leaving the traditional church. And this is the reason why, because there's no fire, there's no spirit, there's nothing.
Exactly.
I don't care if you got some Pentecostal church where they yell and scream and holler. When you walk out those doors, you're back in the real world.
Yep.
So
I've said it. You know, people have heard it on the radio. They've heard me preach it in person. That in most churches today, you hear about love, you know, all the preaching on love and you know, being a blessing to other people and love your neighbor as yourself and all that. But they don't practice what they preach, you know.
I mean,
98% of the people going to any given church on a Sunday, if you ran into them at the grocery store, just come for church. Yeah, it was awesome. Oh, what'd the pastor preach on? I forgot. And they just left church 20 minutes ago, and the message is already gone. You know?
Right.
They don't remember what it is. Every one of them will say, oh, it was awesome. Yeah, pastor preached his heart out. What'd he preach on? I can't remember. It was good, though. You know? That was a meaningless message. You know?
Yeah.
And,
well, Let me read Ephesians 4:11-16.
You bet.
Well, 14 anyway. And he gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, or maturing of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect or mature man, unto the measure of stature, of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, say the prosperity message or whatever.
Yeah, the grace message or whatever,
Yeah, just every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. I'm going to continue. Yeah. But speaking the truth in love. Now, I understand we need compassion and love and so on, but it says speaking the truth in love.
Amen.
And, you know, Christians who stand their ground nowadays in this modern day, we're called Islamophobes, homophobes, and so on, has nothing to do with a phobia. It's speaking the truth in love.
Yeah.
You know.
Amen.
At least the truth. Hopefully we do it in love. speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom all the body fitly joined together, compacted by that which every joint supplies according to effectual working measure of the part. And, and we're supposed to grow up in Christ. The problem with today's church is you can be in a church for 40 years and perpetual needy person.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh, feed me, pastor, teach me, you know, make me feel good and so on. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
You grow up in Christ and you start discipling somebody else.
Yep.
That's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
But
what I've seen, and I've talked about this before, is we work and work and work to get someone born again, where, you know, they're regenerated on the inside. They've made the decision to ask for forgiveness. They believe Jesus is their Savior. And then immediately, what do? Okay, now you have to go to these four classes to find your place in the church, you know, and you have to go to Bible study. You have to, you know, do this. You need to help out around here because, you know, this place doesn't clean itself. And, you know, don't forget, you got to tithe. Now, you got to tithe because, you know, the light bills don't pay themselves. You know, instead of just walking them through and getting them, you know, when a couple brings in a newborn baby, right? Oh, isn't that so cute? They don't expect that kid to go push the lawnmower next month, you know?
Right.
It takes some time to let the child develop and learn about what is expected and things like that. Now, to go back to your point, especially I have underlined in my Bible where it says every joint supplies in verse 16, because that's every person. Every person contributes something, right? So to what you just mentioned, that's what sparked my memory on all this, what you just mentioned where, you know, they've been in the church 40 years and they're still babies in the faith.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
And if you had that mother with that little baby boy, you know, and it's 2 weeks old, 2 months old, oh, and that's so cute. It's normal for the mother to carry the baby, you know, to feed it the bottle. If that kid is 40 years old and, you know, she's still slinging them in her arms and feeding them during service with a bottle, something's wrong, you know? And people are not going to say that's so cute, you know? But yet we do it spiritually all the time.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
That just gets my gold, I tell you.
Well, the traditional model is the man on top is called pastor or whatever, you know. Then you got the board of elders.
Yeah.
I don't see anything about a board of elders. Elders are guys with gray hair. That's what the word means, yeah. You know. But it's a top-down situation in today's church.
Mm-hmm.
The biblical method is a small group, which is an assembly or an ecclesia of believers. Everybody has their own gift. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee, or the foot, or whatever. Everybody is needed. And, you know, that gives everybody a chance to share, to grow, to disciple somebody else.
Hey, everyone. Pastor Bob here. We are all out of time with today's episode. We're speaking with Pastor Glenn Newman. Now, Glenn, as a former pastor, came as he was studying about Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16, which is the gifts of the ministry, the fivefold ministry to the church. He came to an understanding that, you know, it shouldn't just be pastors, senior pastors, you know, preaching the gospel every single Sunday. Now, you need the administrators and all that for the church, yes. But what he's saying is, let's spread the wealth around. If you have people who are not in the fivefold ministry, they should still be able to share the word of God. And he does that through his home churches. And I tell you, it is an awesome concept. I hope you're catching the intent of this interview with Glenn. Is to get everybody involved in ministry. Glory to God. I mean, that's what the Bible's all about. That's what Jesus came to do, not just put it in the hands of a special few, to get everybody involved. Now, come back tomorrow, because we're going to conclude our interview with Glenn Newman. Until then, this is Pastor Bob. Be blessed in all that you do.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this, your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing FaithCasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts, share your unique insights, and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with FaithCasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the FaithCasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. FaithCasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a FaithCaster. FaithCasters, your voice, your platform, your success.